99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria, and from wherever you're listening from. Welcome to the last hour of the show. I am Sheriff Quadri. We're broadcasting live from Etimi and Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for joining us. We're streaming live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. You can watch me live on those two platforms, Facebook and YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. I must say, it's great to be back on your radio every morning, weekday mornings. You can also join the conversation by listening live from our website, www.nigeriainfo.fm, or just get our mobile app. Everything you have on the website is there on the mobile app. You can go to your respective app stores where you get your games and the rest of it, and search for Nigeria Info FM, and you'll be able to download and, of course, listen live to our shows. Let's talk Nigeria's refineries. Nigeria has four refineries, two in Port Harcourt, one in Kaduna, and one in Warri. The refineries have a combined installed capacity of 445,000 barrels per day. The refineries are networked together from with pipelines from the port of the refineries to the depots, strategically located throughout Nigeria. The depots are there, strategically located throughout Nigeria. Now, I'm going to tell you about a few things that you need to know about these refineries, in case you are wondering. Let's start with Port Harcourt Refinery. It has a capacity of 60,000 barrels per day. It was commissioned in 1965. Warri Refining and Petrochemical Company has a capacity of 125,000 barrels per day. That one was commissioned in 1978. The one in Kaduna, that one has capacity of 110,000 barrels per day. That one was commissioned in 1980. That's 2 years later. And the new Port Harcourt Refinery, that one was commissioned in 1989. It has an installed capacity of 150,000 barrels per day. I have a very germane question. These refineries, are they worth resuscitating? They've not been performing to expectation in recent history. Are they worth spending hard-earned cobble on? Siraj is here. Siraj, let's have this conversation. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Sheriff, for having me on.
I'm going to start. Let's just hit the nail on the head straight. I'm going to start with that question. Are these refineries worth spending a dime, a cobble on?
Oh, yes, definitely. They are worth our not only investment, but the revamping of the refinery. And that would have to be done either with strategic partnership,
right,
with private investors, or a total complete review of the state of those refineries.
Now, let's start with the government spending now. Would you subscribe to government spending the money, his own money or its own money, on these refineries? Or would you rather we give it out on concession basis or any other agreement that would involve the private sector? Which would be the best option for you?
Both options are very okay.
Okay.
Depending on how we approach them. So without us knowing how we got to where we are and what has gone down the drain so far, it is technically unreasonable,
okay,
unfathomable, and the service to the country for the government to just decide that $1.5 billion will go to the revamping of one of the refineries.
Right.
There are several factors that go beyond what we're just saying. The refinery is not working. It is the only source of livelihood for certain set of people.
Okay.
Even government institutions as well. So if we are bringing strategic investors for partnership or consumption,
right,
it is not something that you would also wake up and say, okay, we want a concession. You will end up like our Oshoboroli mills, Ajaokuta mills, and all the other very viable business enterprises that the country has either concessioned, privatized, or sold.
That's right.
only for them, only to get worse than what we had them before the privatization and concessioning. So the citizens and the government need to have constructive review of the state of the refinery before we can take a decision on what is going to be the final action from government. The worst thing that can happen to us as a country is to have our sole reliance, like the government has irresponsibly done, on Dangote having a monopoly of a refinery in a country of over 200 million people. I think it is the saddest thing to happen to a country. It is the most unfortunate decision of government to embark on such, false hope.
I'm going to come to the issue of the private players, e.g. Dangote refineries at the moment. Well, let's dwell more on the believability of the fact that the government plans to, in their words, revamp the Port Harcourt refineries with about 1.5 billion. And they gave a timeline through which this will be done. My question, Siraj, in this case is, before now, we've heard so many times, on so many occasions, government after government, about what they call turnaround maintenance. At the end of the maintenance, in quotes now, you would hardly see any visible output, any improvement in the performance of any of these refineries that we have. Now we're coming with another English that we want to revamp, we want to completely rehabilitate the Port Harcourt refinery. How do you expect Nigerians to believe this? How do you expect Nigerians to trust this? Because the narrative out there is that, that they keep money for election in 2023. What's the process to selling this idea to Nigerians? How can this be sold completely? The Nigerians can now say, okay, let's give this a chance.
Unfortunately, this government came with very high integrity and trust value. But it has sadly squandered that those values with the very reprehensible actions of some of the government officials. In the face of development and the face of improved infrastructure and even commendable activities and programs of government, you still have so many misfits in office as ministers and aides to the government. And for that reason, it is extremely difficult to actually have that easy acceptability of any policy of the government, by the citizens. But unfortunately for us, and sadly for the citizens, we can't continue to live in that total pessimism of government intention and policy.
Right.
Because everything that would happen for development in the country would have to be done by government. So the government would have to move. And like I said, this government came with very high value integrity.
Right.
And that currency was working for it. Had we totally rejected the agenda of the government to go into the railway project that has become some commendable development or an achievement of the government, we possibly wouldn't have had that by now. So it is possible for us to cut the government some slack, but that would be determined by the ability of the government to come forward with how did you come about the $1.5 billion.
That's right.
So how much would it cost you to build a totally new refinery? What is the better option between your investment and the private sector involvement and a PPP arrangement that could possibly make it work? And the PPP arrangement is not where you go and bring some technicians or consultants who would have to come and do it for government. And at that point, they don't have any stake. It becomes either you succeed or otherwise.
Yeah.
We get our own consultancy.
Mm-hmm.
So It has to be such an unusual investment. So the government does not even need to bring down a dime for such an arrangement. Because the infrastructures on ground is sufficient as a government take in such a partnership.
Right.
And this private investor, investors will have to come with their own funds, the technical capacity and ability to then start working on the refineries. And with those four refineries, we wouldn't have any reason to import, but we would also be able to supply some of the neighboring countries with the byproducts of our crude oil.
I'm glad, Siraj, that you've mentioned private sector player, which where we'll go now before we start taking thoughts from our listener out there. Let's talk about the private sector player. You mentioned Dangote earlier about how you feel about Dangote having a refinery in Nigeria here. And something is worrying you. And that opinion that you shared, I've listened to others as well share the same opinion about how worrying it can be. But my question to them, and now to you, is that who is stopping other private players from going into that space? I've never heard anybody stopping anybody, but I mean, tell me if you've heard. Are there stop gaps? Are there obstacles to other private players in this sector that can go and say, we want to build a refinery?
Yeah, I mean, except we want to pretend that we don't understand or we are not aware of the monopolistic tendencies of Dangote, and also a very high influence, not with just the federal government, but even quite a number of state governments that allow for such sole operation for many of the businesses. And what you would experience after that is the conscious and deliberate manipulation of all processes of allowing for other players
to come in
to bring about, you know, competition and drive down prices. That we have experienced with the cement in this country, and we can pretend about it. And if we go the line of the petroleum products, as sensitive as that is to Nigeria and Nigerians, I think it is the most irresponsible thing for any government to do by leaving the determination of availability and prices of such a commodity like petrol to in the hands of an individual. That individual becomes the government, and that becomes the president of the country, because if he can decide whatever, and he's made that clear, is going to sell at international competitive rate, even though he would have enjoyed, and he has been enjoying, high privilege position in terms of access to foreign currency, in terms of waivers for some of even the infrastructural need for building the refineries and all the rest of that.
Right. But,
You know, this is just a private business for him. I mean, this is just to maximize profit. It is not to satisfy the demanding market and the aches and pains of the ordinary citizen.
And the reason why I asked you the question, Siraj, earlier is because it's not news that we have, what's it called now, modular refineries, that licenses that have been given out. And yet we've only seen, I think, about two or three of them that have been completely built, which means that it's not entirely monopolistic, as you put it, because we have modular refineries that should be working right now. Majority of them are yet to even start construction of their site. And people are saying, look, there's nothing wrong with giving, you know, Dangote the permission to go and build his refineries. He has the resources to build it. I mean, he didn't even spend much of his own money. He had to bring investors in as well to build this with him. And if you have people that have been given modular refineries licenses to build modular refineries and they are not building it, you can't put that on Dangote.
No, it is not about, because that is why I actually don't blame Dangote directly. Because I know it is about government, and I've made that abundantly clear. It is the failure of government One, to revamp those our existing refineries. And mind you, there was an attempt by Dangote and a few others to buy our refineries almost at a no-value price under General Obasanjo before late President Yar'Adua recovered those missed
assets,
application and selling of our national assets by former President Obasanjo. There's been the interest in that area. And that interest, like I told you, it is not just about satisfying the yearnings of Nigerians or dealing with the pains of the people, but basically to maximize profit.
Right.
So when you come to the issue of Moduna Refinery,
right,
yes, it is already coming up. I mean, it's something that we should have at least each in all the oil-producing states.
Right.
So
right.
At that point, we have the competition. But I can tell you, for such a monopolistic capitalist and interest, like you're seeing with the Dangote refinery, in that business, it is the dog eat dog, really. And it is going to be extremely difficult for new entrants, even where they get the license.
Yeah.
There are other issues that goes into the construction of a full-fledged refinery or even modular refinery,
right,
that can be frustrated by government officials. So if you have someone that is as influential as Dangote, as a player in that field, you will require almost a higher influence and power. And that you are seeing with cement. That is why you can always see the fight and almost unfortunate bickering between Dangote and Bua, almost to the degeneracy level of sabotaging the intervention of the private sector in the response to COVID-19.
Right.
So, I mean, that can tell you how dirty, you know, they can go at that level. So if we just assume that, licenses are given, and so others are free, that is just utopian.
There's a lot more to it.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Suraj, let's go to break right now. Before we go to break, rather, let's take some calls in and hear the pulse of the people before we go to break. 0700-993-993-993 is our studio line. For the female callers, we're going to have this line for you in a moment. That's 01465-7190. That is 01465-7190. We're discussing the revamping of Port Harcourt refinery. Maybe this will trickle to other refineries, the other three refineries that we have. What's your thought about it? You had this conversation on Friday with Wemimo, and everybody, you know, said their minds. We're bringing Suraj here. Suraj is a player in the development sector, a chairman of Heda Resources, and he's been sharing his opinion on this move by the federal government. Now, let's go to the telephone. Please turn off your radio. Omo is joining us from Alaba. Omo, good morning to you.
Good morning, Cherish.
Morning to you.
Yeah, I want to contribute to the issue of the funding. You know, somebody came out and said it will cost about 12 billion naira to build the refinery. And I'm wondering where he got the figure from.
Is the NNPC, is the NNPC DMG? Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. That's from the NNPC.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to say is that in Angola, currently, they are in agreement with a company from the U.S. to build three refineries at the cost of 3.5 billion. To refine over 300,000 barrels a day. So somebody is telling us that to build a refinery in Nigeria is $2 billion. Why are they fooling Nigerians? Why are they taking them for a ride? That is why people will never trust this government. Because now you are saying 1.5 billion to revamp a refinery that has not been there. No, it's not possible. That's why people believe that 1.5 billion naira is being recruited for the election coming 2023. It's a pity that we're finally in this position. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for calling me. Appreciate it. I really do. Let's speak with Christopher. Hi, Christopher. Good morning to you.
Hey, Chief Quadri.
Good morning to you, Christopher.
Oh, Nyamaduko. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank God. Thank God for Johnny Mercy. Chief Quadri.
Yes, please.
All I had to say, like I always say, I keep on begging the president. He said he would do more listening, but I don't think he's doing so. Seek for help. You need help in all areas. And for the refinery, it's just unfortunate. After 6 years, they want to spend such amount in reviving the refinery. Like I told you, Chief Quadri, please let him seek for help. Thank you, Chief Quadri.
Thank you too for calling me, Christopher. I appreciate it. Siraj, before I take my next call, let me ask you, $12 billion to build a new refinery, that's what the NNPC says, so it's better to fix the old ones. Someone has said that there are refineries in some other parts of the world that have spent hundreds of years and they are still working, you know, perfectly, optimally in other parts of the world. What would you subscribe to operation of refineries? Would you say that the private sector should take it over? I mean, let's optimize all of them, but let it be run by the private sector in conjunction, of course, with the public. Just the way we're doing with NLNG. You know how the model of NLNG operates. The private sector, you know, own the majority share. The government has their own stock in the operations as well. But then it's run by the private sector. Can we have that replicated with our refineries?
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely nothing fundamentally wrong with the refinery. And that for us is still a plus. So I can agree with the NNPC group managing director on the need or on the position to actually revamp the old and existing refinery. I'm going into building or constructing a new one. And for that reason, that would be fine. But the only thing I would find it difficult to agree with would be the price and the cost of doing that. Because I have not really seen the competitive bidding process that took us to that $1.5 billion that we're talking about. The other point is...
Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you if you're just joining us. I'm Sharif Quadri. Welcome back to the conversation. Siraj Olariwaju of Header Resources is still with us via the telephone. And we're discussing the revamping, the planned revamping of the Port Harcourt refineries. It was first the last turnaround maintenance done in that refinery was 21 years ago. That was a long time ago. And they're saying, look, this one that we want to do right now, we're not even going to spend our money. We have contractors coming, we have private sectors coming, and they put money together. Siraj, thank you for joining us, and thank you for staying here all through the break. Thank you, Siraj.
Siraj, thank you for having me.
Fantastic. So let's continue with the line of thought that you were trying to explain before that break, Siraj. After which I will drop my next question for you.
Yeah, I think it's very critical that we are mindful of how we either condemn or criticize the government.
Okay.
This is the time that we really need to constructively engage the process and not lose sight of the bond. So our focus should be on how we get the refinery to work. And everybody should be coming to the table with viable options, alternatives, and suggestions. It is not about just condemnation. I mean, we've had this experience for talking about like 40 years. For this period, we have made billionaires out of several numbers of people. So with a functional refinery, you are not likely to be having the Petroleum Equalization Fund in existence. You are not going to have the PPPRA fixing the prices of petroleum products and the rest of that. You are not going to have the subsidy regime for some importers of petroleum product. You are at the same time not going to have the petroleum dealers, you know, fixing the prices of kerosene in the local name that it is called, and diesel with its AGU and GBK.
Right.
At such an exorbitant prices. And that would have to, either you like it or not, provoke the resistance of people who are currently benefiting from the dysfunctional system
right.
that we are operating. So Nigerians would need to understand that it is not just a government failure that we are contending with. It is also a regime of certain vampires who are better off at their own understanding and microcosm of what you would have in usual business. Those who are cocooned by their selfish interests at the benefit or at the detriment of the collective interest of Nigerians.
Right. Right. Siraj, just hold your thought. Let me ask this question very quickly right now before we go back to the telephone. The NNPC GMD was talking yesterday about this same issue that we're discussing now. And he said that this process of revamping the refinery had been on for a very long time. He said that the tenders were received, they passed through the Bureau of Public Enterprises, passed through the necessary channels, and that this government just decided to say, okay, I think it's time for us to have a very strong, holistic approach towards the refineries, enough of turnaround maintenance. Let's just revamp this thing once and for all. So they establish an operation that would involve private sectors to come in, put down their money, and then operate it for a time specified in that contract. And according to him, when the revamping is ongoing, the refinery will start producing gas in the first 18 months. He was trying to argue that it's better to go this path than to build a new refinery where you have to wait until everything is completed before you can start producing anything. According to him, in 18 months, this refinery will start producing gas and it will scale up, and that it will be operated. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going, Siraj. It will be operated by the contractors. And this thing will be working until the contract ends, until the contract terminates. My question to you is that with the way he was explaining, with what I could deduce from what he was explaining, it seems as though the government will take this thing over again after the contract expires. There is no mentioning of, okay, so once they are done with the contract, I mean, this thing would be operated by the private sector. Even after the contract, it's just saying that once they are done, they will leave.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any reservation as to how government handles? We all know. But let me just put it to you, for courtesy's sake. What's your thought on this?
I think for us as Nigerians, this for me, if we could, we should travel this route that the GMD has said, with a measure of appreciable transparency and accountability, I am 100% for it. And these are my very good, clear reasons. If Nigeria is not, you know, I didn't even know, I have not really taken very full cognizance of the position of the GMD when I made my proposal that the option also available is that you bring the investors who would also be contractors, who would not just be consultants to consult at the expense of government, but that would bring their own resources and then have these refineries revamped and then fully operational at such an agreement. And I mentioned the joint venture. So
right.
Many of the oil licenses operated by the multinationals and other local owners of the oil licenses on a joint venture partnership of 55% to the Nigeria and then 45% to the company. So we can do the same thing with the refinery. And that was what I said. The quantity and the value of the refineries will determine the stake of Nigeria in that partnership.
That's right.
So for the period that it will be operated, the profit from that process will also be shared at that rate.
Mm.
The point about the transfer, I mean, we're a country and we're a people.
Mm-hmm.
So let us stop deceiving ourselves and saying government, government. There's nothing that is called government without the people.
That's right.
So if they're going to manage the refinery for 10, 15 years, it means people who are even younger than myself, not me, because I'm no more qualified to be called a youth, would be the one taking over on behalf of the government. So the problem really is not about, oh, what do we feel about the government? So it is what do we feel about the upcoming generation and their capacity and ability to then manage that, which will be their inheritance.
That's right.
So it is either they will go the hold of their forefathers or fathers by then also squandering it or mismanaging it, or they will start a process of the new Nigeria that we expect, that we should be seeing, and we're trying to bequeath on the young generation.
Mm-hmm.
So the younger generation are my issues, are my problems. It is not the government. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything that is called government.
That's right.
That is not made of people from our different homes, our different communities, our different states, and across the federation.
So there's nothing wrong. What you're saying, Siraj, is that there's nothing wrong in the government taking over the refineries.
Absolutely. Everything is just wrong with the mentality of the kind of people that we are producing from our homes and communities now, and the way that we have condoned their activities, reprehensible activities. In government and disposition to government property.
Right.
So for
right.
me, the only thing that is honorable for us as a country is to take ownership of our process. And you see it in all other oil-producing countries. So there's nothing that is wrong with Nigeria and Nigerians taking ownership of what belongs to the country and then having those expatriates working for them and serving under them. It happens in Libya and it happens in Dubai and other places.
Right.
So why can't it happen here? What is wrong with us as black men? I think we need to rethink the way we are pushed in.
That's right. Siraj, we'll leave it here today. Thank you so much for joining us on the Morning Crossfire today. Always a pleasure to have you. Always a pleasure. We'll take a few calls in reaction to the discussion we've been having this morning. And later at 8:55, we'll try to give our 10,000 there. But let's hear what you think about this conversation we've been having on Nigeria's refineries, revamping of our local refineries here in the country. What's your position on it? 0700-993-993-993 for the general callers. For the female callers, you have an exclusive line to yourselves. The line is 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190. Let me speak with Samuel. Samuel is in VI. Hi, Samuel. Good morning to you.
Morning, Jerry.
Good morning to you.
Yes. Samuel, sir.
Welcome.
Please, following your conversation.
Right.
There's one thing I've always told myself. It's practically impossible for me to believe any Nigerian government. Over time, we have been raped. We have been battered with lies. It's impossible for me to believe that this government will spend $1.5 billion to revamp a refinery. I don't know whether it's the refinery that has the capacity of 50,000, refining 50,000 barrels, or the one that has the capacity for 110. But at $1.5 billion United States dollars,
right,
you can get a hydrocarbon refinery, which is not semi-autonomous. This, the ones we have that they are going to revamp, is not fully automatic. It's not automated. You can get an automated refinery for one point that will refine between 100,000 barrels and 200,000 barrels. If it is well fixed and well managed. In 1991, in 1991, a particular journalist traveled to Hamburg. He was a guest. He was a guest in Hamburg.
Okay.
And noticed that the port, because he was into maritime, he noticed that the port in Lagos, the Tinkham Port, which was constructed by the Germans, wasn't constructed, and then it wasn't according to international standards.
Okay.
And they had a port in Hamburg that is 600 years old, which is the oldest port in the world. It's 600 years old. Then he now went there and then talked to people there, and then they took him to their dockyard, and then the maritime people. Coincidentally, the man that did the project here in Nigeria,
that's right,
was the man that was in charge of their ports now in Hamburg as far back as 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what happened? He went to the man and told him, expressed his displeasure.
Yeah.
About the port in Atlanta.
I'm so sorry, we need to go. Oh, yes. So apologies to the last caller. This was the longer time before he comes in, but he came in quite early. I'm out of here. Thank you for being a part of the show today. I'll be back tomorrow morning on your radio at 5 a.m. for another round of conversation here on the Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I'm online on Twitter at Sheriff Quadri, on Instagram at Sheriff Quadri, and on LinkedIn at Sheriff Quadri. Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu is next at the top of the hour.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.